right, good to see you this foggy Sunday morning. Makes me think I'm back in Louisiana. I was raised in Louisiana, and we had a lot of fog there a lot of times, but good to see you here, and let's take our Bibles, your textbook, and let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. Our theme for this series is rejoicing always, and today we're going to talk about living with our circumstances. They may be good, they may not be good, but we have to live with them. So how do we do that biblically? So we're going to be looking as we go through it at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Sometimes things seem out of control, don't they? Have you ever been there? Right now you may feel like that things are just sort of out of control. And that is a normal experience for us. And we don't know what the future holds. Right now it may be okay, but in the future it may be suddenly out of control of what we would consider our control. But God gives us some steps in His Word of how to handle these things if we're going through it now or when we might go through it. And of course, some who've been through it can testify that this is true. So in your outline, number one, prayer is the answer. Prayer is the answer. In verse 6, Philippians 4, 6, first part of that verse, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, everything by prayer and supplication. Everything by prayer and supplication. So prayer is really the answer. Sometimes we wait until it's so bad we use prayer as a last resort. But we shouldn't wait till the last resort to use prayer. We ought to use prayer right away and right up front. Here's a little poem. And now let me share this with you, called The Difference. The Difference. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbling about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. That is good advice, the last part there. Sometimes we do get in such a hurry, but prayer makes difference. One little child was heard praying and said, oh God, please take care of yourself. If you don't, we're all in trouble. That's about right. So we need to pray. Prayer is the answer. A, prayer covers all. It covers all. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Prayer covers all, in everything, he tells us. So be careful for nothing. In 1 John 5, 14, 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Boy, that's a powerful couple of verses there. And we want to pray in his will and never pray against his will. But we know that if we pray, he's going to hear us if we're praying in his will. And he's promised to answer us. So we need to make it a habit of praying about everything and praying about little things throughout the day. Praying all the time, being in an attitude of prayer. This British soldier went out, he slipped out at night from his barracks and went out to pray if we could get alone. And somebody turned him in when he came back. The commanding officer was there, and they accused him of fraternizing with the enemy. And he said, no, I went out to pray. I was going out to pray. And so the commander said to him, have you been in the habit of spending hours in private prayer? And the young fellow said, yes, I have, sir. And then he said, well, get down on your knees right now and pray. I want to hear you pray. You never needed to pray so much as you need to pray right now. So he got down on his knees and prayed a very eloquent prayer because he thought he was going to be court-martialed. And then when he got through, as the Holy Spirit led him to pray, the commander said, you can go. And the officer said that to him, and he said, I believe your story. If you hadn't drilled often, you couldn't have done so well at review. Now, military people, you'd understand, but what he's simply saying, if you hadn't been used to the custom of praying, you wouldn't know how to pray. You wouldn't be able to pray like I just heard you pray. So we ask the question to ourselves, have you drilled often? Have you prayed? Are we praying often? And then B, prayer contains appreciation. Prayer contains appreciation. Notice in that verse, but in everything, the middle of the verse, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's good to not just ask God all the time, but to thank God for all the blessings and what he's already done for us. And so he's reminding us of that. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer, watch with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us like to get thank you notes. I know when I pastored, I enjoyed getting thank you note, and I still get some of those once in a while, maybe around Christmas or some of the different occasions that we have, and relative to the Sunday school and still being able to serve here some at the church. Well, thank you notes motivate us to keep doing what we're doing. Thank you notes makes us feel good, don't they? They always do. Everybody likes to get a thank you note in the mail or however you receive it. And it makes you want to do it again because somebody appreciated it and somebody says, thank you. Your wife cooks a good meal and a wise husband will say, honey, that was a delicious meal. That was good. One of your best ones. So the next one will be good too, see. And that's not a bad idea, is it, guys? Amen? Tell her you appreciate the good meals. My wife has always been a good cook. And I do appreciate the time she takes to cook those meals. And then a pastor likes to hear that, thank you. Brother Gillett, every once in a while, just go by and thank him. I know sometimes you're used to going out that door, and he's busy up here, but just stop and thank him or write him a little note. And I guarantee you that'll encourage him. It will encourage him. Reminds me of the story I read about a father and son. And the idea is he goes to his dad and says, give me the keys to the car right now. I want the car now. And I know what I'd have said if I'd have been the father, and some of you dads would know that too. But suppose that same young man came up to you and said, hey, Dad, I just want to tell you, I love you and I thank you. You're a hard worker. You're just a sharp dad. You spend time with me. You listen. You're a great counselor. You do all of that. And a while back, you let me take the car. And my friends and I went out in the car, and we had a great time, just had a wonderful time. And he's bragging on him. And then he gets back down, and you know what he's going to say? Hey, Dad, could I have the keys to the car? Well, if he approaches it that way with all that kind of thankfulness, you'll say, yeah, here are the keys, and here, take some money with you and spend a little bit of money maybe, if they're that kind. Now, after you faint, get up, and then you might follow through with that. But God responds to our appreciation Do you think he'd respond to our demands? Now, there are a lot of people that say, you know, they say, I just demand God do this, and he has to do it. And because name it and claim it, you got to do it because I demanded it. No, we need to appreciate what God does. We need to believe that he'll answer our prayers. But a challenge might be this sometime. You might even want to try it sometime today. The first 10 minutes of your prayer time, just do nothing but thank God. And where do you start? With being saved, amen? That's a good place to start. And then you can go a long ways, and there's a lot to thank God and go that long without even asking him for anything. Then prayer comes asking. Prayer comes asking, verse 6, the latter part of that. Let your request be made known to God. You're not going to bother God making requests to him. He's our Father. He likes for us to come to him. And he says, let your request be made known to me. Dr. John R. Rice, I have the book. Dr. Barber probably has it too. Prayer is Asking. It's a nice book, a good book. And I have referred to it and read it a couple of times. Just to encourage me again in prayer. Prayer is asking. Now, that's not all prayer is, but definitely prayer is asking. And you can find that in so many scriptures. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Ask. James 4:2, you have not because you what? Ask not. And so God is concerned about our needs. Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But every hair of your head, the very hairs rather of your head, are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I believe that, don't you? We're of more value than many sparrows. And so he's given us this beautiful illustration about it. And he says, he knows the very hairs of your head are numbered. Every hair on your head has a number. God knows that number. 1 through maybe 10, 1 through 1,000, 1 through fake, no, whatever it may be. God knows the number. Seriously, he knows. He knows, I guess, the hairs in your beard, guys. He knows the hair in your mustache. That's hair too, you know. All of that, I suppose it includes that. But one thing for sure, we know he knows what we need. And we need to talk to him. Isaiah said, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. God already knows what we need. So prayer is the answer. Secondly, peace is the anticipation. Peace is anticipation. Roman numeral 2. Peace is the anticipation. Verse 7. He says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Now we have peace with God through Christ. We're saved. But the peace of God is something we need every day. The peace of God in our lives. The world wants peace, and they have peace signs, and they always talking about peace and everybody having peace. Isaiah says that the wicked are not going to have peace. 57:20-21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. They're never going to have peace until they get saved. People, they may have a pseudo peace, a cover-up type peace, but there's no real deep peace until one gets saved. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace to the wicked. And so we want, the world wants peace, but there's never going to be peace until we have the millennium. We're not going to have world peace until Jesus sets up his kingdom. That'll be a great day, won't it, when that happens. But we can have inner peace right now. We can have peace today, inner peace. We don't have to be frustrated and worried and biting our fingernails and popping pills and all of that. Now, some pills are necessary. Don't misunderstand me. But there are some that aren't necessary, too. And we've all seen and observed some of that. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our peace comes through Christ. While the world is going to pieces, and they are, while the world is going to pieces, you can have peace. And that's a good quote. So the source of peace, the first part of that verse, and the peace of God, the source of peace. There's two ways of saying this. No God, no peace. N-O, no God, N-O, no peace. And the other one is K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. And that's the way it works if we know God. John 14, peace have I given unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. They can't give it. But give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have peace. Colossians 1:20, the first part of that verse. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And once we are saved, we should have that permanent peace in our hearts. If you're not saved, you don't have it. But once you're saved, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Spiritually minded. So you have the source of peace. Obviously, that's God. And then the supremacy of peace. The middle part of that verse. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. It's above all understanding. We can't always explain it. It's hard to totally understand, but God gives it to us. And that's it, which passeth all understanding. Isaiah called it perfect peace. When Isaiah was speaking of it, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Do you have perfect peace this morning? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, on God. If our minds are focused on him, stayed on him, pleasing him, seeking his face, then we will know that we have that perfect peace he's talking about. And so a lot of times, and peace is so important. People will say, I've had young guys say, well, how did you know you're called to preach? How do you know? And the answer that I would come up with would be that God was dealing with me, but I had peace about it. God gave me a peace. This is what I want you to do. And so it is that God gives that peace if you're called to preach. Maybe it's someone trying to decide who to marry. And you pray and take it to God. And if God doesn't give you peace about it, you better stay away from it. But if God gives you peace, then that's a good sign. So someone once said it this way, when you need to know, you'll just know. And especially a Christian who's praying to God. And then C, you have the security of peace. The latter part of that, peace of God which passeth all understanding, verse 7, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your heart, your emotional center, your mind, where you do your thinking, all of that, your heart and mind, he'll keep your heart and mind. In other words, there'll be great emotional stability, and there'll also be great mental health if we keep our minds on the Lord and pray to him, he'll do that. We have this promise. We have this real promise. God will never, ever forsake you. If you're saved, God will never forsake you. Isn't that good? I've had some friends that have forsook me, and I thought they shouldn't have, but they did for one reason or the other. But I'm so pleased to know that God will never forsake us. He'll never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. Now, he tells us in Proverbs 3:24, listen to this verse, when thou liest down, when you go to bed, go to sleep, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. So we can rest at night because God's watching over us. And there are all kinds of possible things can happen, but we can worry about it. We can leave it in the hands of God. And God is going to watch over us. I remember Daddy would have to go away and work to get work as a carpenter, come out to Texas sometimes. We lived in Louisiana. And then I was just a little lad, and I slept in bed with Mama when I was just a little fella. And I remember storm would come up, and I mean a horrible storm and tornado-like. and I would be frightened, and Daddy wasn't there, and I was even that much more frightened, and she would just pat me and say, God's watching over us. Everything's going to be all right. Don't be afraid. And I'd just go to sleep, and I'd have peace. But she knew that was her peace, too. And so Psalms 91:5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Don't be afraid of the problems that come your way by day. So we have that peace, the security of peace. And in our senior years, we have the security of that peace. Most of us in here are in our senior years. Thank you for the compliment. Isaiah 46:4, and even to your old age, I am he, even to hoar hairs. That's the Greek word sabal. I know that excites you. I wanted to share that with you. But it means old age or gray. That's what it's talking about. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hair will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. We have the promise God's with us. And so it's that way. Reminds me of the story of the little boy who was on a ship, and the ship was in the Atlantic. And I mean, it was tossing and turning, and people were panicking. There was a terrible storm, and it was coming, and everybody was afraid that the storm was going to just break up the ship. And so they saw this little boy, and he was sort of calm. He wasn't worried about it. Just didn't seem worried, and everybody else was. And one guy went on and said, aren't you scared? What's the matter with you? You don't seem to be afraid. He said, oh, I'm not afraid. My daddy's piloting this ship, and he's been through this many times before. And our Lord has piloted the ship through it before. So he'll see that we get through. Amen? And then thirdly, proactivity, Roman numeral 3. Proactivity is the antecedent. That is a thing that goes before the antecedent. Proactivity, verses 8 through 9. There are two antecedents, two things that really ought to go before we have that peace. Two of them that the Bible talks about. Verse 8, look at that. He says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. I don't have time to go over each one of these, but you know, you get the picture. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. So one of the requirements is a discipline of positive thoughts. A discipline of positive thoughts. Proverbs says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart. Somebody said, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And that's true. You're really what you think. That's what we really are. So we have to watch what we think. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that was the problem, well, the pre-flood problem before the universal flood, Genesis 6:5. Here was the problem with them. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was in the days of Noah. And he said, it's going to be that way again just before Christ returns. And I declare, I believe we can see parallelism today, what's going on in our world today. And that was the problem then. That's the problem now. People, it's a problem of the heart. So if the goal is peace, then we're going to have to discipline our minds. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. And again, you remember Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Paul says in Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present them to God. And then he goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We need that constant renewing of the mind, staying in the word and prayer and all of that. The carnal mind thinks about a lot of different things, sinful things. And you know, whenever the mind thinks about sinful things, it grieves the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Remember, he's a person. and he can be grieved and he can be quenched. And so when we, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, Galatians 5:17, Romans 8:5-6, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think like him. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. And then B in your outline, the development of productive tasks, the second requirement. The development of productive tasks. Those things, he said in verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the little word do, D-O, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What you've been taught, what you've heard, what you've seen, demonstrated before you, you do those things, and you'll have peace too. It brings peace. Proverbs 16:3, a complementary truth. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Isn't it smart to commit it to God? You got decisions to make. You face a day. Commit it to God. And then he says, I'll establish your thoughts throughout that day. Positive thoughts and then production. These all help us to do what God wants us to do. And the result of that, it brings peace. The old cliche and saying is, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. That is so true. We don't have time to have an idle mind. Too much leisure time can lead to wrong thinking. We have to start our day with a good list, maybe of thinking of what you're going to do to serve the Lord today, memorize some scripture, maybe say, I'm going to pass out three or four tracts. I might visit a shut-in. I might memorize a verse of scripture. Think and start your day, do these things, rather than the evil that could be there, dirty jokes, pornography on television, gossip, all of that. There'd be no peace for that kind of thing. So we should not just sit and wait for Satan to attack, but be proactive as we do that. Here's the thing. Peace rules the day when God rules the mind. Peace rules the day when God rules the mind. Now, my wife and I got to head out to Arlington, to Tabernacle Baptist, to preach there today. And so we won't say bye to many of you and say, have conversation. You'll understand, I hope, because I got to drive fast to get over there to preach. The pastor's grandfather's passing away, and he wanted to be with him up north. And so he called and asked me if I'd come in and preach. So we're going to do that. God bless you.